Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is George Shearing. In the words of Duke Ellington, he's beyond category. No other pianist has such elegance, such harmonic brilliance, and such style. George, I'm running out of superlatives, and you know you're here to help me celebrate the holiday season. We can do that, can't we?
Oh, I think so. In fact, I'd like to wish you something.
Well, thank you, and I want you to have yourself a Merry Little Christmas, too. That's a great tune. Now, I'm always thinking, I hardly ever know who wrote anything. Did Ralph Blaine write that tune?
I think so, and as a matter of fact, I think I was at a party one Christmas in California when he not only proved that he wrote it, but he sang it. And I tell you, I had tears in my eyes.
Well, it isn't often that the person writing the tune can necessarily sing it really well, but I guess he was one of those.
He really did.
Boy, I bet you have so many memories of Christmases in so many different towns.
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. The great Christmas memories that I have, I mean, Les Brown, you know, God rest his soul, used to have wonderful Christmases. He'd get a group together and they would sing carols and things. And he had a great Christmas, and he had kind of a Christmas party as one of his performances, and it was very enjoyable.
Well, he had such a great band, but was he living in California then?
Oh, yeah.
And you were out there playing?
I was out there playing, yeah.
But You and I have played many times together, but I don't think we've ever done a Christmas song. So how about if we try Winter Wonderland?
All right. Put me in the mood, Mary.
I was hoping you'd do a couple more choruses.
Well, I'm shy.
Oh, yes, of course.
You know, old Leo's so shy.
Oh, of course you're shy. I've known that for years. But, boy, I keep going back to things that happened in my childhood. Like when you were a kid in London, what was your Christmas like?
Not very pleasant, I hate to say, because we had two factions in the family. The larger of the two factions spent most of the time in the park.
Oh.
And the rest of us stayed home. There was so much booze in the house, but the rest of the family went to the pub anyway and then continued drinking when when they came back.
Oh, they wanted to make sure they had a continuous supply when they came home.
Well, yes, they wanted to be sure that their Christmas was overly merry, but the point is it was so merry that some of them would be found sleeping.
Well, it's funny. I guess my Christmases were different because my parents were very strict about what any kind of liquor you could consume at any time, never even thinking about Christmas. And my father had a bottle of something called Shrub.
It was sort of
like a cross between a wine and a liqueur. And if I would be allowed a little glass of that. In fact, I don't know why I brought that up. I guess just hearing you talk about your family rushing out to the pub.
Oh, yeah.
You make me think of other things that used to happen when I was a kid. And maybe you had this, too, when people would come to the door and sing carols, and you'd go to the door.
Oh, yeah.
And go to the door and give them sixpence. Or
yeah, right.
Anybody knows what sixpence is? Boy, I mean, we could really go into that story of Christmas, many Christmases, but before we do, I think it would be, I would really love to hear you do another song, and I really love the way you play it, Away in a Manger. Could you do that?
Oh, yes. The Americans. So I said to Ellie, my wife, I said, you know, I love the English one. You know, Ellie came to me laughing and she said, by the way, I should tell you that that was written by an American. Well, life goes on, you know.
Well, I never knew, actually, I never knew who wrote it. Now, the other one that you played a little bit of, then that isn't the English one.
This one?
Is that the English one?
Is it?
Well,
no,
I don't know.
I thought the other one was in English.
Well, you know, it's such a beautiful tune. I guess we can just not worry about who wrote it. There's more to come with George Shearing on our holiday special. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts.
I've never heard Art Tatum play anything Christmas. Have you, Marian?
Oh, he must have at one time or another. I'm just trying to imagine what it would sound like.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to be opinionated, but it might be something like...
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good imitation. Boy, I wish I had some chops like that. I used to try to do what he did, but I never could make it. But you know, you ought to, I'd like to hear you do do White Christmas like that.
Like Tatum?
Now, you know what I'd like to hear now? George Shearing's version of that. Oh, that's beautiful. It was sort of like a hymn there at the end. How did, I mean, I know you learned all these tunes by ear, but did you learn them real fast as a kid, or did they just gradually seep into your consciousness, or what?
As I remember, I used to go and listen to people like Roy Fox on the old Crystal set, you know.
I used to learn from the BBC too, not necessarily Roy Fox, but Ambrose, for instance, and Henry Hall.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Gee, I haven't thought about that for years.
Yeah. Well, Marion, seem to have been talking for quite a while.
Well, there's a lot to talk about, you know.
Well, yes, there is, but I want to hear you play because there's a lot to play about too. I'd love it if you would play something for me.
Well, in the spirit of Christmas, I could do something I used to play, whether it was Christmas or not, something I always liked, and that's Greensleeves. And I guess the other title is What Child Is This? I always thought of it as Greensleeves, and I used to play this at the Hickory House. But so I should know it, shouldn't I? We'll see.
Do you know when it was written, by the way? I think it goes back to about 1500.
I know it was probably in medieval times.
Yeah.
So I'll try and not play medieval harmony.
nice. It's always been one of my favorite tunes, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, mine too. I don't know why it's... I mean, it's got a sort of a folk-like spirit to it.
I've often wondered if it's... Or... I like the last one better.
You know, I may be wrong, but it sort of feels better that way to me. Well, we'll have more in a minute because my guest is George Shearing and we're celebrating the holidays. I'm Marion McPartland and this is Piano Jazz, made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company, manufacturers of the pianos heard on Piano Jazz. Where were you in the wartime years? Did you play for the troops?
Oh, I was in London all the time.
Hey, that's pretty much what it sounded like when a bomb came over.
But I like the all clear better.
I never heard anybody do that before. Boy, that really takes me back hearing that noise.
Yes, it does. You know, I was in a cab one time and... We were stopped at a light or something, and I said to the driver, well, that was a close one, wasn't it? And there's no driver there. He hopped out and got into a store or something.
Or was under the cab. Gee, I remember that happening in Manchester.
Oh, yeah.
And being in some hotel, and... That happened, the air raid siren went off, and everybody just sat there at the dining table, just calmly going on with their lunch. Nobody moved. I was just thinking of, remember, I don't know where you were, but remember the Battle of the Bulge?
Oh, yes.
I was in Belgium.
Belgium.
Jimmy and I were not married then. And they moved us from a town called Eupen, way back to a town called Herve. And all the GIs, like Jimmy and some of the other guys, were left to guard the hotel while the show people had to go to a town far away. And then there was no big air raid, but we took a ride in a weapons carrier, which wasn't that comfortable, back to the hotel to pick up Jimmy and a couple of other guys. And during the night, they had got into some officer's liquor ration, and we thought we were rescuing these guys, but they were so stoned, we really wanted to leave them back there where they were. It was funny at the time, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when I think of all the years that we've been playing at Christmas... You must have played many a gig over the Christmas holidays, haven't you?
Yes, but, you know, I don't work over the holidays these days because I figure the holidays are a time for me to enjoy and celebrate as well. And so I joined the celebration rather than the entertainment for the celebration.
Well, I'm talking about years ago, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you and I mean, I used to have to play at the Hickory House, like, right through Christmas, and the only thing that would be different from any other day would be that John Popkin would give us a free dinner that day.
Yes, right.
I guess at Christmas time, I mean, even when I was in the Hickory House, we working over Christmas, but as I recall, we didn't necessarily do a lot of Christmas tunes. We just
you play one or two, wouldn't you? I mean, you probably get requests for I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas or, you know, something like that.
Well, we could do one that's a little more offbeat. We could do Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow.
Oh, yes. Do you want to take the top?
Okay.
Okay. yes.
I knew it was going to come out like that.
Well, you know, I think that the thing about two jazzers is that they will eventually make up their minds and kind of catch up who's going where. And I, like you, I could tell that that thing was going to end in that rather humorous way.
Well, you're a rather humorous fellow.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. People say, well, what do you mean end in a... You mean you don't have that already arranged? The answer is no, we don't have it all. All we have arranged is that we will meet at such and such a time and occupy two piano stools and play whatever is required at the moment. And, of course, this is the holiday season, so we're playing holiday music.
Well, and that's what we're doing. Anyway, we should do another tune, and I was thinking we could do Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. People always think of that as sort of a lighthearted tune.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes.
And I love hearing Ray Charles sing that song.
I've never heard him.
Oh, he's something else.
He's a funny, funny man. I'd love to hear him.
You want me to start this?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. I think it's a fun tune.
Oh, yes, it is. It's a great sense of humor. You know, if we want to stay in the Christmas spirit, and it's such a wonderful time of year, I do, and if I might be so bold on your show, I would like to suggest playing this Snowfall.
It's a wonderful tune.
Oh, yeah.
Claude Thornhill.
Claude Thornhill's band and my quintet spent a week at the Rustic Cabin in New Jersey. And I think we had more people on stage than we had in the audience.
But didn't you have great fun with Claude Thornhill?
Oh, lovely. I mean, the band was just incredible. So here is Claude Thornhill's theme song, Snowfall.
You know, Snowfall is one of the most beautiful tunes around, and yet you're one of the few people that play it. But it's kind of hard to get it right, isn't it?
Yes, it's more a matter of tone than technique, I think, because you know, we have to,
yeah. But it's got to be played with those certain effects. He did a wonderful arrangement of Anthropology.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that, and he did one that I remember on Robin's Nest, and they were always done with this wonderful voicing. And
Well,
I could go on and on, but there's more coming up. I'm Marion McPartland. My guest is George Shearing, and he's sharing the season with me.
Marion, would you do me a great favor, please? Would you play A Child Is Born? I love that song.
I love it too, and it's amazing. A lot of people don't know that Alec Wilder wrote a very nice lyric to that. I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't, and I'm sort of canvassing for people to record this as a Christmas song, but I don't think they've all caught on to it yet. And of course, needless to say, I'm not going to sing the lyric, so I'll just play the song for you. That will be sufficient.
Beautiful, Mary. Absolutely marvelous. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, this is kind of a shame, but we're getting to where we only have one more tune to do, and I would sure like to be doing a lot more. We're going to have to do a record date or get a gig or something, or another gig sometime.
Yes, indeed. Please.
But meanwhile, we could wind up with something I really love, and that's God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. But
good fugues of you.
You know who made a wonderful record of that, that he didn't only play at Christmas, was John Lewis.
Oh, yeah, wasn't that nice?
It was wonderful. And John really...
Everything, fugue and everything else.
Yeah, well, we could do that too, if you like, can't we?
Oh, I think so.
Boy, you very crafty. You went into another key and...
Oh, yeah, you came back.
That's one of the things I always talk about with you, that you just go into other keys.
And, oh, yeah.
And such harmonic brilliance and such style.
This special holiday episode of Piano Jazz with Marianne McPartland and her guest George Shearing was originally heard in 2001. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant engineer Dan Hoppler, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production manager Audrey Shiflett, executive producer Elaine Freeman. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR member stations, and NPR. Support for the original production of this program was provided by the Lila Wallace Reader's Digest Fund and Jazz Times Magazine, providing a window on the jazz world since 1970 with artist features and reviews on the web at jazztimes.com, by Borders Books and Music, the Baldwin Piano Company, and by Hilton Head Island, South Carolina Chamber of Commerce. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org, and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.